let's turn to Acts chapter 9, and you're receiving a little publication, those of you in Sunday school today. Verse 31, you can look at it in your Bibles, or you can look at it on the back cover, on the back of the booklet, if you want to look at it there. There's a verse out of Acts 9 and verse number 31. Acts 9, 31. And notice, if you will, the verse is about a whole bunch of mystery churches. Where'd they come from? And notice Acts 9:31 says, "Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied." Now notice the word churches is in bold letters there on the back of your publication here. That's the first time the word church is ever used in the plural in the Bible. Churches, there's more than one church. We don't believe in the universal church. We believe in the local church. And notice also in bold it says, "Throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied." We don't know a thing about these churches. We don't know who their pastors were. We don't know who started them. We're going to look at some glimpses in the Bible here of where they probably got started and how they came about. But we're using this verse right here, of course, as a model for a vision that I've been putting out there for some time. I've been hinting at it for about 3 years, and especially over the last year, about our church being a church planting church. Not just having one church here in Eden, but reaching out and planting other churches. And we'll give you the biblical basis for this. I know some of you have heard this already. I just want to refresh it in your memory today. Next week will be my last week here for this Sunday school hour. We are starting the chapel phase of the Evans Church plant on November 16th. I will no longer be your Sunday school teacher. For how long? For years, as far as I know, unless it doesn't work or something. But we believe this would be God's will. And so, I'm just trying to do some explaining here so we're on the same page. I will be here for the 11 o'clock service every Sunday. As for Sunday school, I want to strongly urge you to continue to attend, even though I won't be the instructor. We will be using different people to be instructors, different men, and I'm sure what they have to say will be hopefully well prepared, interesting, helpful to you. Some of you men that are in this room, I'm going to encourage you, maybe approach you, but I want to encourage you maybe to think of a subject that you're familiar with that could be taught in a block of instruction, maybe 1 month long on Sunday mornings. And maybe not so much have a permanent Sunday school teacher, but different men teaching different subjects that they have studied out very well, maybe a particular doctrine that you're strong in, maybe a person out of the Bible, some Bible character, that you can bring out some things about that man or woman. I mean, they're just amazing. The Bible is a book of people. Good men, good women, bad women, and somebody can teach a whole month maybe on one of these, those are some of the best personal studies there are when we talk about people. Or maybe some subject that you're strong in that maybe the church is weak in, and you know that subject and you want to study it out. Man, I want to encourage you right now to start digging in and preparing. You men that are here, preparing some lessons, maybe a month long of lessons, then come talk to me about it. Now, I'll give you some pointers or coach you along or something. I'm sure some of you can do a good job at that. And that would be a good thing to do. Also, I want to encourage your support of Chris Barron. As he, this morning, he's in Texas with Sam Hazlett at a missions conference, and these two young men, I believe God is working in their lives, and I believe eventually they'll probably both end up somewhere out there laboring for the Lord in the field, missionaries, pastors, I don't know where. It's quite obvious to us and to Chris that he'll be going back to the Philippines and probably be spending the rest of his life there as a missionary. At least that's what we've talked about. He's going to be going out on deputation, raising support. He doesn't need as much support as most of your other missionaries do because of the cost of living is not as high in the Philippines. He's familiar with the culture. He's familiar with the language. And he has a burden for that country. But I don't even think he can get through his candidate school till next June. But even between now and then, he will be going out mostly on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights when opportunities open to present himself to churches for support, for consideration. But in the meantime, I would like to see him get a lot of teaching experience, and your support can help him do that. And a Sunday school setting is a good setting. You can support him just by being here on Sundays and encouraging him and letting him teach some lessons. And so I think I'll be using him a lot between now and when he leaves. And I'm not sure what direction this class will take, but some of you, a few of you in this room, I should say right now, are going to be going with me to Evans. You're going to be helping with the church plant. Some of you won't be in this class. This class will probably get a little bit small, but I'm going to certainly challenge somebody like Chris to try to build the class, get some more adults in here, or you as a man have some subject that you want to teach in a block of lessons for a month. And for that month, I want to encourage you to be the one that builds the class and tries to get people in to hear what you're saying. It'll be a great experience for you. And so pray right now. Every man in this room, pray right now and say, Lord, is there a subject that I could present to the body of Christ that would help them, that maybe Pastor Cole hasn't hit on? Maybe that's something I know a little bit better, or something you've really showed me in my life over the years, and you can work on that and present it, and God will use you. Like I said, some subject, some person, some doctrine, some book. You know, we've never studied Habakkuk, and, you know, teach on Habakkuk for a month, or whatever. All right, so please, please, you know, the Bible says, I'll just read this before we get to our subject of what we're doing over in Evans there, which a lot of you know. I'm just going to rehearse it. But the Bible says in Hebrews 5 and verse 12, for when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Now, Paul here is rebuking some of the Jews and saying, you know, by this time you should be teachers, but you need to be taught again. You need milk. He was giving them a rebuke, a mild admonition. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Verse 13, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So I'm not using that verse on you folks that are here. I'm not saying you're a bunch of babies. You ought to be teachers. But I'm bringing out a principle here that Paul said we ought to be teachers. We ought to be teachers. We ought to, a lot of us, a lot more of us, I think, than what is expected nowadays should be teachers in the Lord's work. Now, just for a moment, look over at Acts 13. It says in verse 1, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. And then it mentions five of their names, Barnabas and Simeon, Lucius, and Manaen, and Saul, who would later be called Paul. So there were many teachers in this church in Antioch, men who were capable of getting up and giving forth the word of God in a way that was interesting, that was helpful, that fed people with milk and meat. And that's what we need. And so, men, I'm serious about this. I'm serious about this today. I want you to think about a subject that you might be able to really dig into. And I noticed my wife, all week long, she's teaching the ladies tonight a recap of the 12 apostles. And man, she has been in the Word all week. Just all week working on that. And you know who learns the most from teaching? Huh? The teacher. I get more out of my sermons than any of you ever have. I get more out of my lessons than any of you ever have. It's an honor to teach the Word and preach. The best way to learn the Bible just about is to be a teacher and to say, hey, I've got to come up with something for these people. I have to speak four times a day. And so I have to be in the Word this week. And boy, I'll tell you, it's a wonderful place to be. It's in the Word. It's a wonderful place to be. Okay. Now, go into your booklet here. Most of you know this, and I don't mean to be redundant, but I just want you to know that we've passed out this book, and your part mainly is please pray. Please pray intelligently. I don't know about you, but I believe in the devil. I believe in Satan. And I don't think he wants this to happen. I don't believe he wants a church in Evans. And this is spiritual warfare we're marching right into the middle of. And we have got to have your prayers. I think it's easier for the devil to destroy a newly planted church as it is a mature one. Now, mature ones have some people who know how to pray. And they know how to pray a hedge of protection around their church and their pastor and so on. And there's people who've been in the Lord for 10, 15, 20 years and they're anchored. They're established. The church isn't as likely to fall apart as quick as a church full of babies. Anyone can tell you that as the church grows and matures and the people in it become more and more Christ-like and the people in it. I mean, we're not going to do over in Evans what we did Friday night. We're not going to have 18 men show up for an all-night prayer meeting and pray with long seasons of prayer humbly together. It's not going to happen over there. You're going to have to pray for this church. You're going to have to pray for us that are trying. We're not going to have any music. We're not going to have any organization. We're not going to have any Sunday school classes. We're not going to have any nursery. We're not going to have anything. Imagine going to church like that. Your prayers can help. We've got to plant churches. I'll show you that in the Bible. Now, on page number, well, they're not marked here, but inside of your booklet, you're going to notice here, just the middle page, we're planning three stages of planting this church over in Evans, and we're already done with stage number one. So in the middle of your booklet, it says stage number one, the men's Bible study. That's done. We've gone for 6 months. Every Thursday night for 6 months, we have met together with men over there. I think we had a high day of 13 men. There's usually 8 to 10 men there. The ones that are there, they really seem to be dedicated to this cause. They really seem to want to do this. And for the most part, they live in that town. Jesus started his church with 12 men. Now, we know that he ministered to multitudes. He fed thousands and ministered to multitudes. He healed the sick and so on and so forth. But he got himself together a core of men right at the beginning of his public ministry. 12 men, and in particular, 3. And he focused most of his attention on them because he knew he was going to leave and that he was going to leave the work in their hands. And so that was the first thing he did. Now, there were women that ministered unto him of his substance, from Galilee, from the time he began. There was always women in the Lord's work, the Lord's church that he was establishing on earth. But he took 12 men out of all of the men that were around, all of his disciples. The Bible says he took 12 out of all of those men, and he ordained them that they should be with him. He ordained them that they should be with him, and they followed him around for 3 years, and he especially focused on them. He especially focused on three, Peter, James, and John, and had very special times with them. And then we find in one of the listings that there were the apostles first, Peter. And so the Lord put him in charge. And he wasn't the first pope, he was the first pastor of the church that really started in Galilee and migrated down into Jerusalem. And so he set up the structure of men, and they were all different men. They came from different backgrounds. They had to learn to humble themselves and work together. And then after he left, they started really the expanded church. 120 in Acts chapter 1 met together for prayer for 10 days, and then came Pentecost, and thousands were saved and baptized, and the church in Jerusalem was established. Anyways, that's where we came up with the idea for the men's Bible study. The men's Bible study, it went for 6 months. We've been meeting every single week on Thursday nights. That phase is over. Now we're going to number two here with stage two, which is the satellite chapel. Let me just read. It's very short, but I'll just read what the booklet says here. It says, after the men are established in their roles, have discovered their gifts and talents, and have been trained how to use them, we will add to the fellowship women and children. This will then become a satellite chapel, using the church in Eden as a mother church to help in organizing legal matters and financial support till it can stand on its own. We will start Sunday morning services at 9:30 a.m. I will be able to preach and minister at the services, then drive to Eden to conduct the services here at 11 a.m. We will continue to have a men's Bible study on Thursday nights. Now, this is what we're actually going to do, the next statement. We may add to this Thursday night meeting ministries and activities for women and children, but that will depend on how many workers we have. And we are going to open it up. We're not going to have the men's Bible studies anymore. They're getting pretty tired of me. So, now, but we want to bring others in on Thursday nights, and that'll be at 7 o'clock. So the only thing I will be missing here, of course, is the Sunday school time. I'll be here Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, training hour, Wednesday nights, as usual. And we're going to use some of you men to do the Sunday school teaching here. As I mentioned earlier, a few of you may come in late and miss that. All right. So November 16th, that's not in the booklet, November 16th is going to be our first meeting. I'm excited about it. And you got to start somewhere. So that's 2 weeks from today at 9:30. We're going to be using the recreation hall over at the Triton Valley Estates in Derby. We're paying $300 a month for the use of the hall. It's not a big hall, but it has a rating capacity of 60 people. And November the 15th, Saturday, we're going to have a work day over there. We're going to get some carpet cleaners and clean the carpets and clean the windows and make it look sharp. And I'll announce that. Any of you that want to come and help are welcome to come and help. And then the next morning, we're just going to set up the chairs and see who comes in. I can remember doing that with this church in a really tiny, tiny room, about half the size of that addition over there. We had a pulpit and about 20 chairs set up, and I think we had 13 for the first service. And, no music and no ministries, no nothing. But we got it started, and the Lord really gave birth to this church, and we certainly have had some good days, some up days, some down days, and all kinds of days in between. But we're going to start again. I'm excited about it. I don't want to grow stale. I don't want to just cruise. You know, I think we're to the place here, at least in Eden, where we're mature enough as a church, and finances are good enough for the church where I could probably cruise here for years. Just cruise along, take a paycheck, preach nice sermons or lessons or series of messages and so on and so forth. But I don't want to do that. You know, a lot of this, the main thing we're doing this for is the Lord. Amen. But another reason I'm doing this for myself. For myself. I am not going to die. I'm not going to be like so many others my age that just say, well, it's time to let someone else do it. I've been doing it long enough. I grew up in a church like that. I've seen many other people like that. I've seen some even in our own church who have that spirit. I'm not going to die. I want to be like the next Leon Foote, you know, who's 78 years old and still doing camps and deaf camps and daily vacation Bible schools. That's what I want to be when I'm 70. If God gives me health, I want to be trying to plant a church somewhere. And we hope to plant churches along the coast of Lake Erie. I've also got my eye down in Gowanda. That area there needs a church. And you don't, you know, you don't, I don't think we understand this, but America is as much of a mission field as so many other countries now. You could go to Buffalo and start 20 churches today, and it wouldn't be enough if we had 20 people called to Buffalo, New York, who went and started churches up there. Wouldn't be enough. You don't have to go to the mission field to be a pioneer in God's work today. There is not much going on in Evans. I live there. I love the town. I've been in Angola in my house 25 years this month. I moved in November. I love Angola. And there are 21,000 people in Evans. 21,000. There's a couple churches over there that I think you could hear the gospel in. I really do. I really think you could hear the gospel in a couple little churches over in Evans. And I'm glad they're there. I thank God for them. I pray for them. I hope they do well. But they haven't really mobilized the gospel. They haven't gotten it out into the streets or into the community much. And I hope they do well, and we're not going to go over there trying to take any of their people. There's enough other people. 21,000 people. When you go to Derby, New York, some of you live there, some of you know where the town is, you can't find a church in Derby. You can't find a Catholic church in Derby. You can't find an Episcopalian church or Presbyterian or Methodist or Baptist or anything over there. You got the First Church of Evans. I guess that's in Derby. It's right on the border. But it's a growing town. There's a lot of people over there. And someday we'd like to go over to Evans and start a church in 2 weeks and then maybe go up to Derby and then up to Wanaka and up to Blaisdell, Lackawanna. All those areas need churches. And so that's what we're, that's what I want to die doing. I don't know what you want to die doing, but I want to die planting churches. And if I fail at every one of them, I want to just stand before God and say, Lord, I tried. Lord, I tried. I wish it would have worked, but I didn't, but I tried. And I know a lot of you have that pioneering spirit, and there's a part of me that's just looking fresh. I'm just looking to try this all over again. Go back to my youth when I was 26 and we started this one in a little house. And see what God does. The last 6 months have been harder than I thought it was going to be. I really did. I thought it was going to work easier than it has. The last 6 months of Bible study has really been harder than I thought it was going to be. We've got some good men, though, that are excited about it. Some of you are going to, at least for part of your spiritual life, leave this church. We're actually going to sacrifice some people and some money from this church to go over and help. Maybe you'll still come here on Sunday nights or Wednesday nights, but you'll be over there Sunday mornings and Thursday evenings. And boy, there's people over there, man. I was in some houses yesterday, just break your heart. Just, you know, just talking to people and just, I don't know what to say to some people nowadays. They're problems in their lives are so complex. But I've always tried to point them to Jesus. I said, man, I don't know what you should do. I was telling a guy yesterday, I don't know what you should do, but I believe the Lord could help you. I believe the Lord could help you. Walmart's trying to build a super center over in Evans, and they're building one up on Rogers Road and 20 in Hamburg. And I've mentioned this a few times to you. Well, man, if Walmart's going into them areas, those people know what they're doing. I mean, they're not the second largest business in America for nothing. They're second only to the federal government when it comes to employees. They know what they're doing. They're going over into that area. And there's people all over the place. It's a lot of hot air sometimes, but they're talking about building up that waterfront and so on and so forth. There needs to be some churches in that area. It really does. And so I don't know. I just feel like I'm getting stale a little bit, and I need to do something new. And some of you aren't going to be in this except by prayer. Please pray. Well, let me show you a few scriptures here. And I, like I said, I'm just trying to describe to you what's going to be happening. We're in Acts 9 and verse 31. It's on the back of your booklet. It said, "Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord, and the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied." When I read this verse years ago, I just said, wait a minute. I was reading through the book of Acts just about 3 years ago. For the first time ever, you know how it is when you read the Bible. You've read it 20 times, and then sometime you read something, and bam, it jumps out of the page, and you say, man, I've never seen that before in my life. And, well, it was there, but maybe I wasn't ready for it. But as I read Acts 9:31, I said, where did all of these churches come from? Where did they all come from? All the churches, plural, had rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria. And they were edified, they were built up, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. There was no other church than the church at Jerusalem that we know about historically in Acts 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. Then you get to chapter 9, and there's churches everywhere. What in the world happened? Well, just one more time, a look at the map, just so you'll know. Israel, this is what we call Palestine back then. Israel's this area right here today, except for the West Bank that belongs, and the Gaza Strip that belongs to the Palestinians. In Christ's day, this is what it would look like. It was called Palestine. This northern region in the orange, if you can see, is called Galilee. Well, I'm going to show you in a minute that that's actually where the church started. The church at Jerusalem was actually started at Galilee. But we just read in Acts 9:31, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea, Samaria, and Galilee. So the Bible is saying by Acts chapter 9, all through this region there was churches everywhere. How do churches get started? Someone plants them. Someone plants them. And all you read about in Acts 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 is the church at Jerusalem. But you get to chapter 9, there's churches everywhere. You don't know who the pastors are. You don't know who the leaders are. You don't know how big they are, how small they are. You don't know the village name, the city names. But in every village and every city, they planted the church. That's the biblical pattern. That's the biblical pattern. Our God wants there to be a church in every town, in every village. Doesn't matter if it's big or small, He wants there to be a church. Now, a church is a called out assembly. That's what the word means. It's a. There's three definitions of the word church: the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, and the building of Christ. That's what the church is. It's the building they meet in. It's the body of Christ, those that are born-again members of Christ, and it's the bride of Christ, those that are married to Christ and will be with Him forever. And God wants there to be one in every single town, and so a lot of times you'll hear me say, we believe in the local New Testament church. We get that word local from verses like Acts 9:31 and other places. Somebody planted these. Now, in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, there was a commission given the day Jesus ascended into heaven. He had risen from the grave. He was ascending into heaven from Bethany. And he says in Acts 1 and verse 8, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth," which would include Galilee and anywhere else beyond, Asia, Europe, America eventually. "You shall be witnesses unto me both." Now, as you know your New Testament history, the church at Jerusalem basically disobeyed this commandment. They did not go out to Samaria and Judea and the uttermost part of the earth. They hunkered down there in Jerusalem, except a few obedient folks like Philip. Man, Philip was out among the Samaritans preaching Christ and everything. He was obeying the Lord. But then something happened in Acts 8. The Lord said in Acts 1 in verse 8, I want you to go everywhere and be witnesses. But they didn't. So God got them going. Look at Acts 8 now. Acts chapter 8. It says this. And Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at where? Jerusalem. That sounds like a bad thing, doesn't it? But God knows what he's doing. They all hunkered down in Jerusalem, just like we could all hunker down in Eden. And cruise the rest of our way right into eternity, maybe, I don't know. But a persecution came. And what happened? And they were all scattered abroad throughout what regions? Judea and Samaria. Notice this. Except the apostles. Now then, what did they do when they were scattered? That means they ran for their lives. As Christians, they were so persecuted, they were put to death. Christians just bolted out of Jerusalem, except the apostles. So here's this huge church in Jerusalem. Its attendance goes down to about 12. But it was a good thing. It was probably running hundreds or thousands and thousands of people. Now it's down to 12. Everybody's running for their lives. But notice what they do when they're running for their lives. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere doing what? Preaching the word. Now, what's the product of the preaching of the word? Well, churches are going to get started. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And a whole bunch of them ended up getting saved in Samaria. So it was probably through Philip, and it was probably through the scattered Christians who went everywhere preaching the word, that all those churches on the back of this right here, Acts 9:31, were started. God dropped a bomb in the middle of Jerusalem called Saul. That was the name of the bomb. And he blew up. And he started killing people and throwing them in prison. They all started running for their lives. And it was a good thing because churches by Acts 9 ended up planted everywhere. Everywhere believers went, they started churches. It is the responsibility of believers in Jesus Christ to start churches in other towns and in other villages. Now, one last text, and then we'll close. In Acts chapter 10, look at verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. This is after Cornelius the Italian gets saved. God has already told them in Acts 1, preach the gospel to every creature. In Acts 10, they're still trying to figure out, can people who aren't Jews get saved? Just kind of thick-headed, I guess. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say, now notice this, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. Now to all the people, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did drink with him after he rose, eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness. Now notice what it says back in verse 37. You know that which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee. And we are witnesses of all these things which he did. So Peter is saying here, let me tell you how it worked. He said the gospel first started up here in Galilee. And it was preached from all Galilee. And as he said there in verse 37, sunk down into Judea. And then Philip went up into Samaria. A whole bunch of Samaritans believed. And then God sent John up to Samaria to help Philip. And I believe John planted a whole bunch of these churches, and Philip planted a whole bunch of these churches, and other believers that were scattered went everywhere preaching the gospel, way up here, about 70 miles up here to Antioch, then over into Asia, and then over into Europe. That's what they did. That was the first century pattern. Now, if that's the first century pattern, that's the biblical pattern, I think God will be with us if we try this. I think he'll be with us if we attempt this pattern. And so I want you to just covenant with me in prayer. I know most of you are staying right here in the church in Eden. That's great. We need you. This church needs to be made strong. I'm going to keep working in this church and trying to fill it up and go forward and have a big vision here and so on and so forth. But then I'm going to be going over to Evans and really, I'm hoping for the next 25 years of my life, if God lets me live that long, to try every 5 years to go to some town and try to get a church planted. Try to get a nucleus of believers together who love the Lord. And try to get a building. Try to get a pastor in there. And try to have a really strong foundation for when that pastor comes. There's now all kinds of problems and financial problems and so on. Please, Your job is to pray about this. Your job is to continue to attend this Sunday school class. Your job maybe is to help teach this Sunday school class and really feed the people that come with something good. And there may be some financial support that's going to have to come out of this church. For the Evans Church for a little while, we're going to start collecting offerings the very first Sunday. We're paying $300 a month for the rent of the building over there. That includes the utilities. We're working with Robin and Mr. Robin File and Kim File, who own the estates, the Triton Valley Estates over there. And I have it on good word. I've talked to them on the phone. Nice people. I had it on good word. They're a brother and sister in the Lord. They've been so kind to us. And so that's where we're at. I just wanted to make that clear. Next Sunday will be my last Sunday school lesson here for a while. But I hope you get excited with me and pray. I won't be able to be here for prayer meeting anymore at 9 o'clock. I hope you men will come and meet in room 12. Have some prayer. Pray down the glory of God. Pray for us. So, all right, let's close. Our Father, we thank you, and I just want to pray now. Lord, we know that this sounds good on paper, but we know we have an adversary. And we know he's alive and well, and he's just full of wrath. Thy word says that about Satan. He hates you, Lord. He hates truth. He hates your church, because your church is your bride. But Lord, you're greater than him, and your power worketh in us to will and to do of your good pleasure. And Lord, Father, I want to be fresh, and I don't want to just send missionaries around the world. We need to plant some churches that'll be strong missions-minded churches locally. I want to pray for Evans, Lord. There's 21,000 people over there. Lord, like there's only 8,000 here. There's so many people. There needs to be a church that's trying to get the gospel out and reach souls. I want to pray you'd help us through our infancy, Lord, because it's so hard to keep a church together when everybody's young in the Lord. I pray for the men that'll be helping to use their gifts and their roles. I pray all the support would be there. I pray for men in this room right now that you're working on, laying on their hearts some subject, some person, some doctrine, something they can teach in my place here, that they'll be able to do a great job and actually build this class up better than I ever did. Lord, help them. And now we want to pray the Spirit of God would really work in this next service as we change direction here. The Lord's Supper tonight, the children's churches. Lord, bless this day in the house of the Lord, this holy day. In Jesus' name, amen.